Hello, everyone. It's Bird's Eye View back for week two. It's your favorite crew here to give you all the info about Saints Gaming and what's been going on here over the past week. My name is Matthias Apostolitzen, and I'm here with my co-hosts.
Daniel Jobin. Super pumped to be back for week two. We got tons of great action to get into for you guys.
Zachary Bailable Schreier. You know, we're hyped. We're pumped. The playoffs are around the corner. We're past the midpoint of the season now. And things of lots of news to talk about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Stuff's getting, starting to ramp up a lot.
It's exciting. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, let's jump right into it. What's our first game here?
Well, we're going to be starting off with the Fortnite boys. Once again, decently slow week. They only had to play versus solos to play through. The 1,600 players total played in this solo tournament. The top 200 qualify. Now, two of St. Clair's players fortunate enough to be able to qualify. That was Sirius coming in 63rd out of 1,600 players. Absolutely incredible showing throughout the entire season. He's made his way into the playoffs. He's qualified. Played, like we said, top 200 to qualify, finishing 63rd. Absolutely unbelievable season from Siri. Has just played outstanding, great rotations. His game sense is unbelievable. And obviously his mechanics, like the building, the shooting. This guy has everything what it takes to make a deep run into the solos. And then we had Vexy coming in at 114th, also still qualifying. A little bit behind Siri, but once you get in that top 200, anything can happen. Especially, like we said, Fortnite being a battle royale and RNG-based. You just have to put your name in the hat, and you have an equal chance of winning as the next person, depending on what kind of drop it is, how the loot is, or how just, you know, what kind of mindset you are going into the day. Unfortunately, the last player, King, coming in 374th, unable to qualify. But when you look at 1,600 total players, still coming in 375th out of 1,600.
Yeah.
Nothing to shake.
1,600, that like, you really got to realize that's a massive number.
Yeah, that's nothing to lose sleep over. You're still in like the top 15% of the players. Like, that's absolutely still an incredible season. Obviously looking for room to growth in the next semester, the next coming seasons. But we had three great showings from three awesome players. And like I said, two of them fortunate enough to be moving on to the play versus solo qualifiers, the playoffs. So hopefully they're looking to make a deep run and bring St. Clair some gold.
Absolutely. And, you know, historically, the Fortnite team has seen a lot of success here at St. Clair College. I know we have the Fortnite trophy from last year sitting in the trophy case out there, right? So they're going to be looking to have a repeat performance, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got to get that back-to-back, you know, get that reputation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, be solidify yourself as top dog because, you know, anybody can win just once.
Yeah. Yeah,
you win twice back to back. Now there's some talking.
And winning in Fortnite too. Like I said, a lot of RNG, a lot of randomness. Like the fact that say if you're able to make two consistent runs, even with swapping players in and out of the different trios and the solos events, it's just something to really be proud of.
Absolutely. So yeah, hopefully, end of the season we'll be seeing two trophies in that trophy case. But we'll have to see. They definitely can do it. They definitely have the talent.
100%. Especially like I think Siri is poised. He's been absolutely. He's been unbelievable the whole year. This guy is poised to make a huge run coming up, and I would expect to see some great things from him.
Yeah, he's definitely like some of the most solid up and coming talent we have here.
Yeah, and across all the programs, he's one of the best players we have. Period. And I won all these programs.
And something that you got to mention when talking about Sirius, it would be a disrespect not to mention it, is just how much this guy does for the Fortnite team as a whole. I'm pretty sure not only is he like the star player, but he is also the coach and the manager of the team. The guy does it all, like,
and at a high level.
Yeah. Like he's just an endless pool of talent there. So it'll be amazing to see just what he does with all that talent.
100%. You know, like that's got to be a full plate.
Yeah,
right. Like, I could not imagine
doing all the struggles of coaching and managing, and then you have to get into a battle royale and just pray that things go right and try to play your best. Like I say, the amount of mental load that has to take, and he's still able to come out, like, just shows what kind of person, what kind of player he is.
And like all that on top of the fact that, you know, this is collegiate, so by playing he's also a student.
Yeah.
So he's got all that plus being an active student. Like it
what more do you want? Yeah. Like, what more do you want?
I don't know if I'd be able to do all that.
Oh,
right?
No, absolutely. Fortnite is stressful enough as it is, but everything else on top, I can't even imagine how he does it.
This man just does not sleep.
Yeah, this
man. That man's constantly on the grind.
No.
You know, his PC is turned on 24/7. He's there 24/7.
Oh, yeah.
No, see, you got to give respect to like Fortnite players in general, because it's really tough to like, because if you think about it, a normal esport, well, normal. Esport.
Traditional, team-based,
Team-based, yeah. You look at it and, you know, it's like a 5v5, 6v6, whatever. So you're only going up against five people and you also have five people to support you, right? But you look at Fortnite, you're going up against potentially 99 other people at once. Like, In terms of mental, Fortnite is like right up there with like the toughest games to like keep a strong mental in.
Oh yeah,
it's literally you versus the world.
It's 100 different game plans all coming into one map with different ideas and they're trying to pull off the similar. Yeah, like everyone's trying to win, but they have 100 different ideas and ways to go about it. And then you add on top of it the loot pool.
Yeah,
and
you look at the team-based sports. A lot of times you can kind of prepare for upcoming games of being like, okay, this is the style that this school plays. This is the kind of things they like to run. You can't do that in Fortnite.
No,
there's no way you can do that. There's just too many things you have to be able to, like, it is 100% just adaptability and being able to make decisions on the fly.
Oh, yeah. See, that quick thinking, yeah, that's everything. So you can't prepare for, even if you know, like, certain players have certain drop spots and strategies, you can pull a fast one in Fortnite and you could just do anything you want. Like I said, it's not like if you play team-based, you're going to a set map or something like Fortnite, you can literally just say, oh, I usually drop at this place. I'm going to drop across the map this time just to see what happens. Like, even though you might throw off your game plan, you can also throw off other people in the process. So there's a lot to think about.
No, yeah. So, yeah, definitely big props to the Fortnite team for having such a great performance, especially Sirius and Vexy here, you know, making those qualifiers. And, yeah, we'll definitely be keeping an eye on them to see just how they finish out the season.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Alrighty. Well, moving on to Call of Duty. Big news for Call of Duty, actually.
Yeah, big news.
They finished their NACE season this week. Undefeated.
Zero losses.
No losses. They didn't drop
a golden season.
Single map.
The golden season.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Like, it's insane.
How do you go an entire, like, what? We've been going for months, like at least 2 months.
Oh, yeah. Two plus months. Yeah.
Two months and you haven't dropped a single map. How does that happen?
No accidents, like, no mistakes.
There's like, it's baffling. It's so good. It's
speechless.
It's so good.
It's crazy to think,
like,
about.
To my knowledge, I believe that this is like the first team in NACE to ever pull off like a zero maps drop regular.
It has to be. That would be unbelievable.
There's no way.
Yeah.
Going into a little more detail here, the team they played against, New Haven, right? Obviously a 3-0, as completely undefeated. No maps dropped. Saints completely dominant in this match. We were talking about how last week, how Priestley was like kind of like star player during those couple of games, and how like whenever he wasn't really popping off, it was Brandon popping off. This week, nah, throw all that out the window. This week, it's all Thoth. Yeah. Thoth was absolutely shredding with the AK-74U. Not only like was it just like, oh, he had a 2.0 KD on this map, he had a 2.0 KD on those maps. Like something you'd expect out of a star player.
Right.
On SND, he went 12-1.
Yeah.
He died once.
Yeah.
And a certain time, when you're playing lives, if you have a player that only died once, you more than likely didn't lose more than one or two rounds that entire game.
For real.
If that even.
It's absolutely crazy how, like.
Well, and that goes back to what we were talking about last week, right? You know, so many teams, they play to exploit the enemy team's weak link. St. Clair does not have that weak link.
Their weakest link
still goes 12-1.
Yeah, you find a way to neutralize the first two, and then guess what? There's another one, and another one, and another one that are ready to step up. There's it's an onslaught.
There is no player on that team, truly. At this point, now we've seen it. In 2 weeks, every single one of these players has had star plays, like, over and over again. And even then, During the match, they played Moscow twice, right? Which is a little weird to think about because they played Moscow on the first map and Saints rolled over New Haven.
Yeah.
And then New Haven actively chose to go back to that map for SND, which you gotta ask what was going on there, right? Yeah. Like, maybe it's a map you've practiced a lot on, but like, even then, like, if you're not playing, like, chances are, like, I get, like, yeah, game mode to game mode, sometimes things change a little bit. But if you're getting just rolled over on every single point on hardpoint, surely SND isn't going to be any different.
Well, you know, it could be a case of for New Haven that maybe Moscow is their best map, right? But if that's the case, talk about an awful situation to be in where your best map is one where you're just getting absolutely rolled over, right? Like, and that's, what do you do in that situation?
I say you drop the map once, then you're like, okay, Moscow is our map. We're going to ego pick this map and screw what St. Clair is going to try and then rolled again. Like, after that, you have to just look and go, there's nothing we have for them.
Yeah, at that point, you're just running out the clock.
Yeah, you're just like, all right, boys, just try to minimize the damage here. Let's try to make it respectable going. Let's try to steal a map, a round off these guys. Let's try to get any good moments.
Yeah. It almost looked like they had a little bit of a breath of fresh air going into map 3 on control. They played on raid, St. Clair started off pretty dominant, as like you'd expect. Like, their control is insane. It's probably their best game mode.
Yeah.
Especially while they're up 2-0. Like, you got to think the pressure's on.
Yeah, for sure.
And like a little bit like halfway into that match, like, you saw like some picks started coming through New Haven, taking points, you know, getting rounds off of St. Clair. It looked like it was going to be close, and that was it.
Not for much.
then St. Clair just like turned on the gas again, and it was just over.
Yeah,
it was like GG.
Got him, GGs.
But yeah, that overall, like, the good showing from both teams, though. Like, I can't say that New Haven's a bad team, because St. Clair is just
that good,
crazy, yeah. Right? So props.
Every team looks weak against St. Clair.
Yeah, team looks weak against St. Clair. You can't. It's as if you were saying like, oh, this team lost to Northwood in Overwatch. They're terrible. Like, no, you played Northwood.
You played a bunch of pro players. Yeah, the top competitive.
Like, some of these players are moving up to the pro scene now. Like you got kind of like
take what you can.
Yeah. But overall, like, other than that, like, I'd say other than that, not happening for Call of Duty in the league, they only went undefeated.
Yeah. No, it's like, at this point, regardless of what happens in playoffs, which I can't imagine that they are going to have a weak showing in playoffs, but even on the slim chance that they do, they hit the golden season. That's like such an accomplishment in and of itself. Like,
I will say, as someone who was talking about undefeated teams, a huge fan of the 2007 Patriots, where they go undefeated the entire season up to the Super Bowl. Although I love the undefeated season, man, if you don't mean a thing if you don't win that ring. Like,
that's true.
If you lose the Super Bowl, I almost completely blocked that season from my brain, because it means nothing at the end of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's still something to be happy about, but when, like, you play for the championship. Yeah. So I know these guys are going to be locked in, because I say the job's not done.
And yet. Well, at this point, though, like, are we worried about them going into playoffs? Like, is there any team in playoffs, like, short of seeing a team who, like, has had massive improvement over, like, the course of the season since, like, the first time they played St. Clair? Because I'm pretty sure St. Clair's already faced off against every team that's going to be in the playoffs, right?
Probably quite a few.
Yeah. They would have played most of the higher seeds by then, yeah.
So, like, at this point, can anyone take down St. Clair? That's what we're going to be watching to find out.
The pressure that St. Clair will face now will come from within, which can almost be more than external pressure sometimes, because you're like, hey, they have the highest expectations of themselves. So even if they start to slip, we know they have very strong mental. Even when they have slipped a little bit and stumbled, they have picked themselves up really quickly.
Right.
But when you go into every single game, now it's do or die. It's like, hey, that 20 or whatever our record is irrelevant now. Like, you have a brand new record from the playoff start.
Yeah.
Besides, obviously, the seeding and how things got laid out. But, like, say every single game now is do or die. You could have played 20 great games, and then you could just have a bad night, and your season is over, just like that. And it's over. 100%. So the boys are going to have to be ready for it, and I suspect that they will be.
Oh, yeah. I have complete faith in them.
I mean, like, yeah.
If they can't do it, then no one can.
It does feel like a bit of a team of destiny almost. It seems everything is kind of coming together at the right time. All the talent in the world, they have every reason to go in, and I think that's it. They should.
They have the momentum. They have the talent. They have the mental. Everything's going for them.
Yeah.
It would be amazing.
They just have to stay the course.
Pretty much,
just keep playing in their game, and there's no reason they can't take home.
They're doing everything right. Just keep at it, right?
Yeah, 100%. And that all being said, though, they did have a couple close games, right? There was a couple games where the 3-0 like scoreline wasn't exactly indicative of what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, through the game, like, those three maps were pretty close against, like, maybe one or two schools.
Yeah,
right.
So there's a little bit of competition, and especially in a playoff scenario. There are quite a few teams, like, you don't just see this in esports, but you see it in traditional sports too, where some teams just, like, they might crap the bed during the entirety of the regular season, but then just explode in playoffs.
Yeah, some teams are built for the playoffs. You might say, if you have a regular season team, especially, like, compared to other sports, like, you might have a super high-scoring team during the season, but in playoffs, sometimes the game slows down. You want a more gritty defensive style. You want to play more anchors and less, like, hey, we're going to run out and try to create a bunch of firefights and just try to win them. You play a little more strategic, because every single the weight of it is so much heavier. So you want to make sure every single play you make has impact, and it's important, and not something, we're not going to leave anything to chance here. You want to make sure, like, we're built and we're going to, like, stick to our game plan and play as best we can.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Well, already then. That'll be said. Great showing for our COD team.
And let's go, boys.
Can't wait for playoffs. Yeah. You know, it's right around the corner. We'll move on to Rocket League here.
Sounds good.
St. Clair Green had another shot in the CRL Open. Unfortunately, they didn't look as good as they did the first time. They went 2-2. So they did play really well, disregarding that.
Mm-hmm.
The matches they did lose were close.
Right.
They just didn't have that like finishing play.
Yeah.
Like you have a lot of close matches in Rocket League, mm-hmm. right? And we'll get to it later. The gold team, like, similar deal. Like, a lot of close games, like, one goal differences, OT matches, left, right, and center. It's just all about which team gets that last goal in the moment.
Like, able to make that big play just to flip the momentum. Yeah. And, yeah, turn it.
It's the day-by-day basis, right? Like, Rocket League is such, like a high-skill, intensive esport where just one day you're playing at the top of your game, like, you and your team, like, you're just tight, you know, you click. And other days, like sometimes, like you're just struggling.
Miss a rotation, miss time of boost, anything. Yeah. Especially in Rocket League, any little thing can result in a goal the other way, like almost immediately, especially against a good team. Especially when you're playing in the CRL, like you're playing at the highest of the highest level. Like there's little to no room for errors against most of the teams competing.
Right. Yeah.
100%.
And something we got to consider, you know, with the CCA Open qualifiers for CRL is it's in the double LM format, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of something that you need to consider when you look at that kind of format, as opposed to like the Swiss or the round robin styles, is strength of schedule is a very real thing. Like, mm-hmm. there's always that chance that you go up against like a top tier team in like one of the round one or two and get knocked to losers immediately, where you face like another top tier team, right?
Yeah.
So even though they did go 2-2 and they got knocked out fairly quickly, especially compared to last week, it doesn't necessarily mean that, like, you know, they have no shot at making it. Like, no. You know, there'll be other qualifiers. They can still come back and they can still prove that they are capable of making it to CRL.
100%.
Like I said, the talent is there. Just one or two mistakes in those games can be all the difference in the world. They just got to figure out what those were and see if they can improve on, and then hopefully make another run at it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Then moving on to some NEC and NACE news. Gold and Green both played a game in, they both played one each in NECC, one each in NACE. Won all of them.
Clean sweep.
3-0s across the board, except one 3-1, which was against University of Windsor.
So you have to wonder if there was a little bit of gamesmanship going on, or a little bit of trolling going on between the locals.
You know, I've been talking to like Fusion a little bit. You know, he played in the U Windsor game. And, you know, he said, you know, they were, you know, it is against U Windsor. You have to like,
you gotta have some fun
with it. You know, the rival school, like the only other college/university
in our city,
in Windsor,
right?
Yeah, in the area.
So there's gonna be a little bickering here and there between the two. So it was a pretty fun game.
It's basically a turf war, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like, who is the king of Windsor, right?
Yeah, but obviously St. Clair still looked pretty dominant there.
Yeah,
winning 3-1. Just one game just didn't go their way, and that happens. You know, again, Rocket League, it's just game by game.
Yeah,
for sure.
And
that's something that seems to be a consistent theme, right? Like, even though we may like struggle a bit in the CRL or in the CRL qualifiers, when it comes to these other leagues where the competition, where like the level of competition may be a little lower, St. Clair is just powering through it.
Oh yeah, 100%. And it's just kind of like what we said before with like last week with NECC Legends Division. Mm-hmm. Like the CRL qualifiers, those are no joke.
Yeah, you're
playing in CRL, like those are like you're playing against like these top of the
like
tier
pros.
Teams,
like, yeah, like pros are
semi
pros, up and coming pros.
Yeah. Ex-pros, like all these guys are like mingled in here. So like taking a loss there is like, it's not you're not playing bad. You're just playing against really good people.
Yeah.
Right. And that kind of carries over into the next point. St. Clair Gold did finish off their CRL season. Unfortunately, they went 1-3 throughout the week. Again, they're all very tough competition. So it's not bad that they lost. And they were really close games. Like the score line, like there might be like a 3-0 or two here and there, but it's not, it like kind of like with Green, it's not indicative of what really happened. You know, it was like a lot of 2-1, 1-0, like 3-2, OT, like a lot of that stuff going on. So it's not like they were like getting rolled over either.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But they did finish it off with a win. They did win against UCF. Which did complete their season 4-7. You know, obviously, probably not the result they were looking for. They probably were hoping that they'd do a little better in CRL.
Mm-hmm.
But going forward. Obviously, a little bit of practice here, a little bit grinding there. You get the consistency up a little bit. And those couple losses turn into wins easy next season.
Like we said, in a league like that, where the competition is literally, that's the top of the top for Rocket League. Like, let's say one or two small mistakes, you guys have to get in the lab and figure out, like, hey, did we miss a rotation here? Did we miscommunicate this? Did I think my teammate was going to have my back here? Did we get a switch like this? Any little thing like that can be exploited. So let's say look for them to try to improve on it. And you say the record, not a terrible record to start off, and say a lot of those games super winnable as well. So they have to know that, hey, if we come in here with a better game plan and we try to just tighten things up a bit, there's a very good shot we can come up with a positive record next time around.
Yeah, and I think something that's worth considering is the fact that when you're playing at that level, nerves and pressure is a very real thing, right? Like, for some of these players, it's their first time in the CRL. And so they're like being thrust into a level of competition that maybe they're not used to. They're like sort of still getting adjusted to the fact that they're playing amazing team after amazing team, as opposed to the other leagues.
Jump from the big leagues, from the minors. It's a huge jump.
Yeah, it can be hard to go from a league where you can kind of just breeze through to going to a league where you have to like be at 100% of the game. And so I think coming back, looking forward to like the next CRL season, now that they have that experience, now that they know what to expect, they might be a bit more comfortable with it when they come back. I think next season they can like really do big things there.
Oh yeah, I would look for them to build on this. This is just the start. Like I said, a lot of the guys, a lot of huge spotlight, a lot of pressure, and they still were able to pull some nice wins and keep a lot of games close. I would expect them to build on this moving forward and just push further. Like green and gold ball.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Alrighty. Well, other than that, actually a pretty quiet week for Rocket League overall. Like, normally they have like 10, 20 matches
across three leagues.
Yeah, there's quite a few games of Rocket League going on, which is why everyone comes in and tunes into Bird's Eye View, because we watch all of the games. We keep track of all of the scores. But overall, they only played 6 games this week, which is...
For Rocket League, not much. Yeah, pretty slow.
Yeah, it makes me like, one team, 6 games, holy, but...
Other than that, I think we're gonna go over to a Q&A segment. There was a Q&A held the other day by some of our good friends here at St. Clair, who were involved in the esports program.
Yeah,
who are currently doing a project where they're trying to make there's the topic of esports more communicated to a wider audience.
Yeah, just trying to bring in some guest speakers and people that would have a little behind the scenes, or give them a little insight onto their stories, how they came up in esports, or what kind of opportunities or struggles they might have faced, and just any general advice or people in our position as well that, you know, are looking to make a name or looking to build on their brand or look for other jobs in the industry moving forward.
Yeah, and so what they just finished doing, I think it was yesterday, in fact, they brought on a professional Rocket League caster and they interviewed him, and it was a great watch. They ran it live, but if you didn't get the chance to tune in live, there is a video you can go watch, and I would definitely recommend it both to people who are experienced in esports and who are new to it, who are kind of like looking to learn more about it. It's a great watch, very informative, a lot of insightful stuff. And so we have an interview with the production team that produced that. And so we're going to be talking with the head of that, and we're going to sort of get an inside look at what went on there.
Good. And now I'm here with Amanda Commanda Dupuis, who was just a part of running the Q&A segment from the other day. Hello, Amanda. How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you, Zach?
I'm doing good. Thank you. So I just got a couple questions here for you.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is related directly to the Q&A. What goes into like creating that like Q&A to like happen? You know, like how does the process like go?
So, this is for our project for our Esports Administration Entrepreneurship class, which you're in as well. Basically, our project is esports education, so we're trying to get the general public to know more about esports as a whole. So basically, we had our team develop the questions they wanted to do. Bernard, who did the on-camera work for that interview, he knew Brody personally, so he ended up like messaging him, you know, figuring out some questions, and then after that, it was Justin, Logan, Danielle, and I behind the scenes making sure that OBS ran perfectly and everything like that. So.
Gotcha. So then I guess like transitioning into a little more like behind the scenes, like what is like, can you explain like some of like the specifics of like how like you set up a broadcast, like Like, how do you get the audio right? Like, what's happening, like, on OBS or Streamlabs? Like, what do you use?
So, we use OBS, and we ended up doing, we set up OBS earlier in the day. We had everything running perfect. We have the audio. We do some tests and everything like that. There was a problem with one of the computers, and I'd step out for a little bit, and Justin was able to switch everything to another computer in the last hour. So that's, you know, it's all part of production. You got to learn how to adapt and kind of overcome those situations. Yeah. So basically, everything we already did, we did on another one, you know, got it all set up. Basically, it's just making sure you do your audio tests, check for all your hardware, make sure everything looks good, that there's no, like, lag or any sort of stuttering when you switch between scenes. Maybe even try, like, a bandwidth test if you really need to, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so it's just kind of like a big machine, and everybody's, like, kind of like a different cog.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. Then I guess, like, is there like a lot of communication that happens, like, behind the scenes? Like, does like the different pieces and parts talk to each other quite a lot?
Yeah. So for our Q&A stream, once we got ready, it was pretty much Bernard having a conversation with Brody, and we didn't have to change any scenes. We had three scenes. One was our starting soon. Another one was just the two of them on the screen. Then the last one was ending. So all we really had to do was set up that stream and let it run, make sure everything was, you know, not messing up, making sure audio was good. Et cetera. So, like, we didn't have to talk too much. I know we were talking a little bit about, like, oh, it's so cool, like, you know, about Brody and whatnot. But usually during a broadcast, there's a lot of conversation and kind of letting everybody know what's going on.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Then I guess, like, for you then personally, what is the number one thing that you, like, make sure is, like, done, or, like, what's the most important, like, part of that, like, kind of like machine that runs a broadcast?
So I think the director is definitely the most important job in the broadcast, and making sure that your OBS is running properly, your stream. The director basically is a person that sits in the chair and makes sure that everything coming in is put together nicely and is outputting to you know, the right Twitch channel, make sure that it's not, like, laggy, or there's a problem with sound or video or anything like that. So, like, for example, in our project here, Justin actually took the role of the director, so he made sure that, you know, the video would come in properly, everything like that. At Saints Gaming, we have Danners that does that most of the time. Sometimes he'll throw one of the work studies onto the director role and kind of, like, teach them the ropes of that. But, yeah, for the most part, that job is absolutely crucial, because you can't run the broadcast. You can have good casters, you can have everything, but if they can't be seen or heard, then there's no point, right?
Gotcha. Then I guess for your group in the esports program, do you guys have anything else coming up?
Yeah, so we're going to do another Q&A in the next 2 weeks. I do believe we're thinking about the 17th right now. Still have to finalize some stuff, but should be pretty exciting. We have a whole bunch of people that have expressed interest in the industry that, you know, I think it'd be very valuable to have them on board and get their opinions and their kind of background in the industry.
Yeah, you know, just kind of, like, educate, like, some of the newcomers into the scene then.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then you said the 17th of November, right?
That's the plan.
That's the plan right now. Well, yeah. Then if anybody wants to keep track and be ready and be there for the next Q&A, you know, obviously keep track on the Saints Twitter, Instagram, or even on the Discord. You know, we have a club server, we have a main server, like, all of those places. I'm sure it's going to be posted everywhere.
Absolutely.
There's going to be a lot of marketing going into this stuff. Yeah, well, anyway, that being said, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
It was great having you. Alrighty. Big thanks to Amanda for coming on to do that interview. It was really nice of her, especially really last second. And keep your eyes peeled for the next Q&A they're doing. They did mention that they're planning to do it on the 17th, but in case that date changes, make sure to keep your eyes out on Saints Twitter, Discord, Instagram for any updates on that, especially on the Esports Club Twitter and Instagram, because that does exist, by the way. Yeah. A lot of people actually know about it. But the club does have socials, and they are really good to check out, because anything the students do usually is posted on there.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And again, if you did want to take a look at that interview that they did, if you're watching this on YouTube, there will be a link down below in the description. So make sure to check that out.
It is well worth your time. It's an awesome interview. They did a great job with it. Say a lot of really insightful information from someone who has made it in the industry so far and someone who's still got a lot of room to grow as well. So it's good to hear the perspective on things.
Yeah, really good stuff. But for now, let's move on to Valorant.
Yes, alrighty, Valorant time. So, like most of the teams this week, not a lot of games played. You know, it is getting towards end of the season. So they did play two games. They won both of them.
Great stuff.
Awesome.
Already improving from last week.
Yeah,
they went from 1-1 to 2-0 throughout the weeks. Already improving. And both games were actually really close. Like, the first game, though it was a 2-0, the maps went 13-11 on both of them. Oh, so boy. It was practically decided. Obviously, it wasn't streamed, so we didn't get to watch it. But pretty much whoever got one extra kind of like economy rotation in their favor, right? If you could buy one extra time over the other team, that's all that decided. So basically, did you win the pistol round?
Yeah, right? You're one round off getting blocked into OT and going who knows how long with the win by two system. Oh my God.
But the match that was streamed versus St. Louis University was a 2-1. Again, another really close map. Both games that Saints won was 13-9. And oddly enough, SLU actually had a really dominant like one map. Like they went 13. So I'm pretty sure it was like 4. Mm-hmm. Like it was really well played in their favor. Like they had like hard stratted that map. And oddly enough, like normally like if we were to talk about Valorant, you know, do it like when it comes to the Saints team, like we'd be talking about Asper. Asper is popping off. JRC is popping off. Vcan's popping off. This week, kind of like Call of Duty, it wasn't. Instead, it was Lupo.
Yeah.
Lupo was fragging the
time. And what's interesting is Lupo is the sub.
Lupo is the sub.
Yeah, he's not even the starter for the Valorant team. I believe Wombat was out, right?
Wombat was out.
Wombat was out, so they put Lupo in, and
he did not disappoint, man.
They didn't miss a beat.
He had constant 3-4 kill rounds, like every map.
Yeah,
like, it was insane. His mechanics are definitely there with the rest of the team, and it just goes to show that like. On any team here at St. Clair, whether you're a starter or a sub, like those subs are grinding.
Yeah.
They are here. They are ready to play. They want to play. Like it's not like if we throw in our sub, like, oh, it's GG.
Yeah.
No, we're still
not good. So fast yet.
don't hold your horses. We're still going to win here. All right.
Yeah. Now, for the Valorant team, you could almost maybe consider him a bit of like a secret weapon, a pocket pick, so to speak, right?
Yeah. You know, like. Especially like if he has a different character pool compared to Wombat, like you have Wombat in one map and then you win, and then the next map you sub Lupo in, and
keep him as a bit of a specialist, maybe
like I said about the sub, having that sixth man that can come off the bench and immediately provide a spark to your entire team, that's invaluable, especially in the team where there's so many different agent comps on all the different maps, especially as new characters and new maps are still getting released because the game is so young. Being able to change up on teams and have someone that can fill in and say, not necessarily like the title is sub, but it's like this is a rotation piece more than anything. Like, hey, we might think this guy fits better on this map with this agent against this team. So that's why you want to have everybody in the same skill level, scrimming together, practicing together, so everyone knows what each other's going to do. And as soon as their name is called, ready to step up and take the mantle.
Yeah, for sure.
100%. And then again, kind of like another thing like the COD team, even in the rounds where Lupo wasn't like hard to carrying, like getting those 3-4 kills, it just went right to the next player.
Yeah,
right.
Like, it was JRC, it was Vcan. Like someone is always popping off for this team.
Just next man up.
Yeah.
Especially in this series where it was like so close, like all it took is like one extra kill.
Yeah.
One two piece, and it like that it defined a round.
That's it.
Right. Especially in a game like Valorant where like sight control is so important.
Yeah.
Where if you make a push and you get two kills, or you're defending and people walk into you, you get two kills, either the people who are defending now have to rotate off of one site, and then you can play around with that a little bit. Or if they were trying to push in and you got two kills, Now all of a sudden they have to panic. Their push just failed. Where
especially
do they
if
go?
You if you get spike down in there and you have a choke point. Like we know they have to come get the spike. Just guard the spike with our lives. When you have a 5v3 and you know the spike's in a choke point, like you have every reason to win that round, and there's no reason you should be able to throw that.
There's few things harder than trying to recover a dropped spike in a bad position.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Especially with the one, you get Vandal or an AWP from down, who knows where, and then you say, pick up the spike dead immediately, and that's that. Just like that, lights cut off.
And it's even worse, like, this is a little off topic, like, didn't actually happen in the game, but like, especially if like, you get a Jett or a Sage, and they like, wall up, and they drop the spike somewhere where no one else can get to.
That
is the worst
pain
at that point you just try and save.
Play eco, run away, save everything we have, and let's move on to the next.
Other than that, there wasn't a whole lot that happened in Valorant. It was pretty, like, even though it was a longer game, like, mm-hmm. I think the set ran for like 2 hours.
Valorant, you can get up there 40 minutes a game here and there, especially doing one of those deep rounds.
Aside from like a couple like star plays here and there, like it was like like you get one pick here, one pick there, like lots of trading going on, just really close. And like if anyone like wants to go back and watch it, like I'd recommend, like it is such an interesting set to watch, to see like such a close set happen, seeing St. Clair get rolled, but then how they bounce back again in map three, like, oh my.
And overall, you gotta appreciate the improvement you see going. Like, I'm sure, like, coming from a 1-1 last week, right, they went even, to a 2-0 this week, and the fact that it wasn't even, like, well, I say at their full strength. Maybe they were at their full strength. Maybe Lupo's just that good, right? But the fact that they had, like, a less than ideal situation, they had to put a sub in, but the fact that they rolled with it and they made it work so well, it really bodes well for the team, I'd say.
Absolutely.
100%. Well then, I think we're going to be moving over to Overwatch.
Yeah, now. We're going to move on to our favorite game here.
Yes, sir.
2 out of 3 people on this desk play Overwatch, so it's the winner. A bit of a slow week for Overwatch as well. We did have 2 matches scheduled, one on Monday, one on Thursday. The Thursday game was against UCSC Slugs, which did unfortunately get canceled, as I believe that the Slugs have dropped out of the NECC. A bit of an unfortunate situation. They were a good team. I'm sure a lot of people are sad to see them go, but you know, it works out for us. So,
you know, we take those.
We take those. We take those dubs, baby.
Yeah, so we do get the bye there. But on Monday, we did play New Haven as well, I believe. For some reason, a lot of our teams played New Haven this week.
It was just Saints versus New Haven this week.
Yeah, not sure what happened there, but, you know, that's just how it ends up sometimes. And, that was a really solid match for us. We cleaned it up 3-0. First map was a dominant 2-0. No points dropped. Second and third map, New Haven did start to show some adaptations. They managed to get a point on each map. Ended up being 2-1, still in our favor, of course. Nothing really to talk about, really, because it was... I don't want to be disrespectful and say it was one-sided, but I think it's fair to say that we were clearly the better team.
Something wrong with speaking the truth.
Yeah. We did get the chance to try some, the Overwatch team, we did try some new things with our compositions. We tried out some new styles, which they worked really well against New Haven. So we'll be putting them to the test in the coming weeks, seeing how they work against tougher opponents. But should be some interesting stuff coming up for sure.
Yeah, 100%. You know, especially as we're going ready to go into playoffs, right? You know, one of the key things that we've kind of talked about a little bit, you know, behind the scenes is We've been kind of like running kind of like hard meta, or at least trying to, throughout like the entirety of this season. And now we're kind of like throwing a curveball into the mix. You know, we're practicing a little bit different styles, different comps within like scrims and within the game against New Haven, which, you know, whether it be for Overwatch or any other game, like stuff like that can, like, especially going into playoffs, like, can really throw off teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like one team like practices like one comp and like learns all of the matchups against the other meta comps.
Yeah.
And then you throw like this weird, different style at them, and they just
it throws them off their game.
Throw them off. They can crumble under the pressure, you know?
Yeah, and for people who aren't familiar with Overwatch, obviously it's a hero-based shooter, and there's often the meta, which is like the strongest six characters. And that's a lot, there's basically two ways that you can practice Overwatch. You can either practice the meta and just hard grind what is the strongest characters and try to be the best at those, or you can be what it's called like an off-meta team or a meta-defining team. And so when you're doing that, you stray away from what's traditionally considered good, and you try to really like carve a path, set your own style. And so that's kind of what we're transitioning toward, making the St. Clair special comps. Yeah. That's what we like to call
little them. Creative liberties.
Exactly.
Taken.
Yeah.
100%. Especially in collegiate, right? Where but we're not against like. Well, we do face like really strong opponents, like mm-hmm. semi pros, like some ex pros, but it's still not at that level where it's like professional, top of the line, practice 16 hours a day, play for another 4 on stream. Like, it's not at that high of a level to the point where not running meta isn't going to cost you.
Yeah, you can get away with it if you know what you're doing and you have the right.
If you
setup
play
for
your
it.
Comp and you play it well, you will find success.
Yeah. A lot of times, even if it's not necessarily the better comp on paper, if it's better for your team, if it's better for your individual players, and if it's better against the other team you're playing against, it doesn't matter that it's not the better team or the better comp according to the statistics, according to what should be the best comp on paper. It still ends up working just because it favors you so much more as the individual team.
You gotta know your players, know your team, and say, if you know what you're good at, you have every reason to believe in your skills and not be like, hey, we have to be locked to these 6-0s. It's like, no, we know we got some good guys at each one of these roles. Like, hey, let's mix it up a bit. Like, we have faith we can do this. Like, as long as you have a game plan and you stick to it, that's the most important part.
Yeah. And more than that, it can often just be, like, just more fun.
Yeah.
It can often get a little bit tedious seeing nothing but the same 6 heroes play for both teams, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're throwing, like, new stuff into the mix, you're getting creative with it. It's both fun to watch and it's fun to play. So, 100%.
You know, that's something that like a lot of people I don't think realize is that in that's a little bit different than esports compared to regular sports is when there's so much versatility and like creativity you can have
mm-hmm.
and then you can't use it.
Yeah.
Like it gets really boring really fast. Yeah. But when you start doing like these little creative plays, you like change it up a little bit, things become fresh.
Mm-hmm.
It spikes morale boost
yeah.
like, within the team, right? Like you're not sitting there like, oh, I gotta play the same stuff over and over again
for right? the last 4 years.
Yeah, gets the neuron activation going, yeah, right?
A little energized, little energy boost for the team.
Exactly. But yeah, so you know, definitely keep an eye on what's going to be going on as we go into playoffs, because we're gonna see if we can pull out some creative stuff, surprise the audience, surprise the enemy team, hopefully. That's the main goal, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, interesting stuff going on.
Alrighty.
All right, I think we're ready to move on to League of Legends. Now, we had the beginning of the NA Star League playoffs this week for the League of Legends team. It was the quarterfinals against Binghamton University BU. Now, this is a series that St. Clair would be pushed to the brink in match one a little bit. It ended up being a 2-1 series win for St. Clair. They had said they had to play out all 3 games. While they lost the first match and didn't look super great in it, you could clearly see in games 2 and 3, and even somewhat in game 1, that St. Clair, just the one game 1, they fell behind early. We saw Ricky tried to start. He started really strong early, trying to keep the Saints in it, trying to keep the kills and the gold going. Midnight for BU was playing excellent for both matches. He was able to get kills at the right time, able to put turret pressure, and able to help BU like take out every single dragon. The first game, they basically picked up the first 3 to 4 dragons. And when you keep getting those buffs over and over and over again, and on top of having a slight kill lead, you're going to have every edge you need in the world to win. And St. Clair just looked a little bit discombobulated in the first match. Like, we used to see them, like, we used to see their team fighting looking, like, super solid and everyone's doing their thing together. A lot of times we were seeing often, like, a 4v3 or maybe a 5v3 where St. Clair would do a lot of damage and they get a lot of good contribution. But when you're playing it in League, like, you need all 5 to be on it at all times. If you have a 5-3 advantage and you even miss one ability, you miss one Q or something, like, you're going to get rolled immediately, especially with so many characters that can, like, bind you to the floor and they can root you. Like, St. Clair they looked for any opening they could, but BU just able to shut the door every single time. Say St. Clair, they kept it competitive, they kept it close, but BU ultimately able to just take, they were able to take out Baron, they were able to take out multiple Drakes. We had Midnight going 11-2-13 on Uter for Binghamton the first game, and that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, when you have a stat line like that, like, there's a 1% chance your team will most likely have lost that match.
Right.
And when you have a, when you have Misfortune as well, going 8 kills, 1 death, 17 assists for BU, like, that's like, when you can't kill Misfortune, like, she is so strong in the meta right now. So, like, that 8 kills, like, she probably could have been 14 kills and 3 assists or something. Like, that, she's so strong in the meta right now. And if you get that kind of performance and that kind of stat line, like, that's insane amount of damage.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, say, for St. Clair, BU would take that, they would take the advantage at the 35-minute mark. They'd eventually push St. Clair back towards the base, get a team ace, and then that would be the end of the game. St. Clair just, they fought tooth and nail as long as they could, but eventually, like, when those abilities start to scale and you start to fall behind in gold, and BU was playing really, really well. Their team fighting and their grouping was excellent. They had perfect positioning at, it seemed, every single fight. Like, it looked like they didn't play a flawless game, but it played as good as it could have without making any crucial mistakes to, like, give the game back to St. Clair.
Yeah, like, really peaking at the right time.
Yeah, that's it. Just everything looked crisp, it looked clean, it looked effective, and they were able to just completely neutralize St. Clair. Right. Now, match two, St. Clair. They woke up a little bit. They decided to pull out Yuumi. Fresh, but decided to pull out Yuumi. Now, Yuumi right now in the meta, very interesting pick. You're basically, I'm going to pocket one champion and basically just give them uber buff the entire game. If you're not even going to try to go for kills, you're like, I'm going to try to get 30 assists and I'm going to backpack this champion. And we're going to do as much as we can here. Like, she's, you're going to sit in someone's pocket the entire game. It's a little easier of a play style, but she is so effective right now as a support. Like, she can swing the fight like any single way, like any type of way she can.
Yeah.
And we were able to get, the Saints were able to jump out to an early lead in this game, unfortunately, and they would stay. This is where St. Clair would show their true colors. They would jump out to their early lead, and once St. Clair usually gets an early lead, and they on the back of, like, E-Hug, they were able to clear out the bot lane, get a double or a triple kill, and when St. Clair is able to put that early pressure on, they excel. Once they know they have kill advantage and they start to put pressure, you get E-Hug and you get Fresh, and you get everybody else just playing in their game. They are so, so strong. I say Fresh, even playing as Yuumi. Yuumi, you expect to usually see zero kills. Fresh already picked up a double kill early in the game with Yuumi. And Yuumi, say, usually, like, that's almost a troll when you try to get Yuumi to get one of your kills, almost like a troll. It's like, all right, it's 1 HP, like, Yuumi, go finish him. Like, instead of sitting on me and helping me, like, hey, just go, you know, go steal one off him and little momentum killer for you.
Yeah.
And I say E-Hog and Zephyrot able to just completely dismantle the top lane after they get the kill advantage. Just wiping out everybody as they came, getting that huge turret pressure. St. Clair able to pick up every single buff on the way. They were able to take out most of the dragons and get Baron. And eventually the Saints would just run down the mid. They would ace BU. It was actually almost the same ending as how BU ended the first game. St. Clair, like, did the exact same thing around the same. Yeah, same time. They're like, oh, you guys ran through mid and aced us and won the game last time? Okay, we'll give you a little taste of your own medicine.
Yeah, yeah.
They eventually get enough. They get enough support. They slay Baron. They get all those buffs. They charge down mid and say, all right, it's about to be GG's. And they are able to just wipe the team out. Team ace, game over. Now we go into 1-1, and this is where St. Clair, they'd be a little more dominant here. Although, however, immediately we would see the first ban that came out of BU was Yuumi. They're like, Fresh, we are not dealing with that damn cat anymore. Like, Fresh, we're not going to do it. Like, we're not going to mess around with you. You're not going to have that backpack support where you don't have to play as hard. You know what I mean? You can play a little more relaxed.
It's the respect ban, right? When the player is just, like, having that much of an impact on a game, on a certain hero, you have to ban it. You have to like, put the ego aside and say, okay, you're clearly way too good at this guy. We can't let you touch him.
It's more of, it's a respect and it's a frustration ban. See, you see the ban in so many games because, like, I just don't want to deal with it. Exactly. Like, it's not even that, like, she is very, very strong, but it's almost just like, man, I don't want to deal with this right now. Like, I just want to have a 1v1. I don't need a backpack Yuumi just giving you full health the entire time, just making this fight go on way too long.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just like, all right, I'm done with this character. Like, they ban, immediate ban, which I thought was hilarious. And that's just it. We saw this time, we see Lin playing as Jhin for BU. He had an amazing game, able to pick up multiple triple kills, giving BU a spark the entire time. But Ricky playing as Darius in the top lane was doing his own work as well. He was able to pretty much solo the top lane, neutralize everything they had, keep the junglers out of there, and hold that lane strong. And then when you have the Saints were able, once again, when you can fight and you can program and you can team to get all the Drakes on time, they're right on the dragons at the right time, every time, not getting them stolen. When you're able to steal Baron and you get all those huge buffs, you get that fast recall time to base. It's just such a huge advantage. And when St. Clair was playing safe and not trying to give up the buffs and not trying to die right away, they found so much success as they usually do. Say when St. Clair, when they get rolling and when they know that, like, hey, we can seize this, especially in League, you can get to, like, the 15-minute mark, and if you've taken a couple of the buffs and you have kill advantage, and when you play like the Saints do, like, you can be like, all right, we can, like, foot on the neck here. And, like, we can run them out of here. Like,
keep the pressure.
We can start to scale and snowball on these guys. We can get them out of here. Now, the MVP of this match, and everybody, you have to go watch. This is the one play from this series you cannot miss. Barlow playing as Lucian contributed to over half of St. Clair's kills throughout the game.
Holy.
This guy was on another planet this game. And ultimately, the best play of the game is, say, Barlow, he was able to get a triple kill to secure a team fight, a crucial team fight early in the game to save the Baron buff from getting stolen and keep St. Clair in front. And then ultimately, St. Clair, all the pressure in the world, they're breaking down the two front lines of turrets. They're pushing the enemy back into the base. And Barlow says, I'll take 1, 2, 3, 4, gets a quadra kill in the base. Essentially, BU, that's like, you throw their hands in the air and yeah. go, I don't know what we do at this point. Like, we're completely done. They had nothing left. This game, if you really want to focus, watch Ricky and Barlow. These two were unbelievable this game, and they were the two main factors in St. Clair winning this. Their damage and their ability to stay alive and just dominate was unbelievable. And with that win, the Saints move on to the next round of the NaStar League playoffs, where they're going to be playing McMaster on November 9th on Tuesday. That game should be streamed on the Saints channel, so keep your eyes locked. But looking to build off this momentum, I have really high hopes for this team moving forward.
And it definitely seems like that's something they'll be able to do, because it seems like they are, like, our Saints League team, it does seem like they're very momentum-based, right? Yeah. Like, you look at the first match, they kind of went down early, and it kind of, like, sort of, they mellowed out for the rest of the series, yeah. and so, obviously, Bing took the first map. But you look, or first game, sorry.
Yeah.
Look at the second game, whereas Saints come out, they flip the script, they start taking that early lead, and they keep that momentum going.
Yeah.
Just the same. So whatever momentum they have, it seems like that's what they work with, and that's what they keep going. So yeah. you start them off strong, they stay strong.
Oftentimes, so, when this team gets a lead, like, sorry to cut you off. Often when this team gets a lead, they do not surrender, and they do not squander. They play so strongly with the lead that the first 5 minutes or 10 minutes is almost the most important for St. Clair, because they can either fall behind, and we've seen them struggle a bit to pick it up, or if they start with a huge lead, we haven't seen them squander one yet.
Yeah, and so it wouldn't surprise me if we see that going on even in a macro sense. Like, we see in the micro, like, in the game to game, right? But now we're going to be seeing it, like, if that momentum from the matches carries on to the next match. And I think it will. I think they'll be able to keep that going, keep the pressure up, and just, like, have a great performance.
I say, between Ricky, E-Hug, Fresh, and, like, we got a lot of guys with talent, a lot of guys with personality. They're really fun to watch. They'll mix it up with the Yumi. They'll try to make different plays. Like I say, they look like they're having fun when they're playing well, and that's, like, the most important thing. When a team looks like it is loving every minute of the game while, like, squashing people, that's exactly what you want to see.
Absolutely.
That's the confidence at an all-time high. Like, hey, we can actually enjoy this, and we're doing extremely well. Like, this is the perfect recipe for success. Yeah.
100%. You know, like, and especially in like, League of Legends, right? Where there's all of these champions, right? Like, being able to play, like especially, like, pulling from, like, where we were able to pull from, like keeping Canada, like, as our base for this team, like, being able to find people that are flexible enough to play meta in a game where there is that many characters.
Where the meta is, even the meta, say, meta normal games, you might have, say, Overwatch, the meta might be 6. In League, the meta could be, like, 15 champions.
Yeah.
It just depends on your team comp, but there's usually, like, 20, like, S-tier champions that are like, okay, these guys are the best, but you still only play 5v5, so out of the 20, you still have to figure out what mixes and matches right and what teams are going to run what comp, and then with the ban system as well, you have to take into account. Okay, so, like, Fresh, right? Like, they play Yumi. I bet they suspected the Yumi ban was coming.
Yeah.
Because, like, especially when you're picking up kills and you're pocketing someone perfectly the entire game, not taking a death, like, we're getting him out of here. So you have to worry about things like that as well when you get into that scene.
And especially, I think that's kind of, like, what separates, like, great from good collegiate League teams, right? Is being able to play in that pool of heroes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you play a champion, like, there's a lot of people that, like, just play one or two champions. Yeah. Right? And if your school just has 5 players that just don't play any of those, like, really good or strong champions, you're just kind of like, yeah, you can make it work,
but you will,
like,
probably be in trouble.
It's gonna be an uphill battle.
You'll have some hard matchups, right? Yeah,
for sure. And you know, going back for a second, you mentioned that Barlow was it who had, like, the half the kills.
Oh yeah, playing at Luciana, over half the kills contributed for St. Clair.
We have a term in Overwatch called a deadlift. And that's when a single person contributes to 50% or more of their team's eliminations. And so he just pulled off a deadlift in that game, right? Oh, he was
bench press, deadlift, squat. Exactly. This guy had everything going for him.
When one person manages to match the efforts of the entire rest of their team, that's impressive.
And when you have that flashy, literally game-winning quadra kill.
Yeah.
When you hear that announcer pop off, you know he had to be feeling just elation, like, oh my God, it's over now. Like, huge play, like, we got it, boys. Series is over. We're moving on to the next round.
No,
especially in the playoffs, too.
Oh, yeah. That's huge. That's a real momentum.
Yeah. Player. Like, yeah. That's
you're
going
to feel really good going into the next game.
And when you start down 0-1, like, they had to claw their way back. So, you can, if they had lost the first, like, 10 to 12 minutes of match two, they could have seen a 2-0 mm-hmm. really, really easily. If they had slipped up, they could have seen a 2-0 if they got chalked. But to come back down the 0-1 in a fairly competitive game, but they didn't ever really look like St. Clair had it to come back and completely flip the switch. It was just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, well, speaking of league, I do want to give a quick shout out to Ricky LaFleur. He was actually named our Saints Gaming Tim Hortons Player of the Month for the month of October. Oh,
yeah. Ricky was awesome.
So, you know, congratulations to him. He's been putting up great performances. Oh, yeah. You know, he's been just an incredibly solid player. Just
a foundational piece.
Yeah. So, you know, tons of respect to him. And hopefully, not even hopefully, I'm sure that he'll be a strong piece that the team will be able to rely on going into the playoffs here.
100%.
Yeah. All right. So let's take a look forward at what's going to be coming up here for the next week here at Saints Gaming. We do have a slightly slower week, still a few matches coming up as always. So we'll be starting off. Our next match being streamed will be on Monday. It's going to be our Valorant team participating in the NECC, and they will be playing against Lebanon Valley College. So should be an interesting match to keep an eye on. We'll see. I believe Wombat should be back coming into this week, so we'll have to see how they perform with Lupo coming out. Who knows, after such a great week, he might even still be staying in, right? Like, we'll have to see what goes on there. But yeah, definitely keep an eye on the Valorant team, because they've been showing a lot of improvement. They've been doing great stuff, so we'll be keeping an eye on them for sure. Going on to Tuesday, we will have the Lee team playing against McMaster Maroon, as you mentioned.
Yeah, the semifinals of the NACE playoffs. Like I said, looking to build off a great showing against BU. Say, looking one more win till the final. So hopefully the boys are able to go out there and start strong. Because we know if they start strong, they will almost certainly finish strong. Just got to stay the course, play their game, and just stay within themselves.
Yeah. We'll be looking for them to come out swinging for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, going on to Thursday, it will be the Overwatch team playing in NECC as well. And we're going against Bay State. What do you think about that?
yeah, you know, Bay State is really good at Overwatch. Yeah,
Bay State is considered by many to be the third best team in Overwatch Collegiate right now.
So it's going to be a tough match.
To say the least, yes.
To say the least. Obviously, we are working on a little bit of a newer comp, that's only going to, like, make it harder. Like, we're not, like, entirely well-practiced on it yet. But who knows, you know, maybe like this new comp we're running, like, throws a curveball at them and they don't really know how to play against it. Only time will tell, you know, and, come Thursday, you know, we'll have practiced a lot more, we'll be more prepared for that.
We'll definitely be looking to make it a close match. We do have, you know, like we mentioned, the off meta stuff that we're going to be planning to bring out. We're going to be seeing if we can throw a curveball at Bay State, maybe come out with something that they're not expecting, and make it a close match. So definitely keep an eye on that and tune in, see what happens. Worst case scenario, it'll still be entertaining for the audience. So should be fun. And then Friday, we do have another League of Legends match, also playing in the NECC, and they're going to be looking to go against Purdue. So Purdue, they're a decent name in the collegiate scene of esports. They have a lot of decent teams.
Quite a few teams. I know they have like 6 Overwatch teams.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely make moves in the collegiate space. So we'll be looking to see if our league team can take them down. Yeah,
looking to move to 4-1 in the NECC Champions Division. So hopefully they're able to go out there and have a strong performance and improve that record as we get closer to the end of the season.
Absolutely. And yeah, that's what's going on this week. That's what's been going on this past week as well. Nothing going on from our Rainbow Six team, unfortunately, for those of you who tuned in hoping to hear about them. They've been taking things a bit slow lately. Nothing much going on in their leagues. They did finish CR6, so they do have a bit of downtime, but I'm sure we'll be seeing some activity coming up soon. Hopefully we'll have something to talk about regarding our Rainbow Six team sooner rather than later, because, you know, a lot of talented players that we're looking forward to seeing stuff from. But yeah, regarding matches coming up, if you want to stay updated with all of them, if you want to find out where to watch them, when to watch them, make sure you follow Saints Gaming on socials, on Twitter and Twitch at Saints Gaming CA. You can find them at Saints Gaming on YouTube as well. You can watch the matches live. You can watch the recorded matches as well. You can pretty much get updates on everything that's going directly from the source by following them. But if you can't follow all that, that's what we're here for here at Bird's Eye View. We'll be back next week to cover everything that happened. And yeah, thanks for tuning in this week. We hope that you guys enjoyed. We hope that you learned something. If you are watching on YouTube, feel free to leave any feedback you may have in the comments. You know, we're always looking to hear from you guys. Tell us what your favorite moments were from the Saints this week, right? We love to hear from fans of the program, of the teams. And yeah, do we have any parting words from you two?
Just thank you. Say episode 2. Thank you guys for watching. Hopefully we'll another great week of action coming up. And can't wait to get back to you guys and bring you guys all the best moments from the week.
Yeah.
100%. You know, not much really to add on to there. You know, super appreciative of everyone that did watch last week.
Absolutely.
You know, at the time of recording this video, we have 65 views. That's actually really good on the Saints channel. So hoping to keep the momentum going. We're going to be here every week continuing from now on out.
Absolutely.
And yeah, thanks for joining.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you all next week. Goodbye.